And you're listening this afternoon on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Alex Keefe with VPR News. Vermont State Police are now investigating an incident last night where Burlington police shot and killed an elderly man who they say lunged at officers with a knife. Police say 76-year-old Ralph Grennan was in his apartment downtown, threatening to kill himself and his neighbors. Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo says his officers tried to use their training and mental health resources to end the standoff peacefully, to no avail. Chief Del Pozo joins us to help understand more about what happened last night. Chief, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Alex.
You were at the scene last night. I gather you were even in Grennan's apartment at one point during the standoff. Briefly give us your account of what happened.
Yeah, I responded back from Pittsford at the police academy where we were doing some training to assume responsibility for this this incident. Over the course of a little less than 5 hours, we attempted to get Mr. Grennan out of the apartment, and as been widely reported by now, numerous efforts from negotiation to try to make contact with him using pepper balls, which are irritants, using tasers, shields. None of that worked. In fact, he was, by all accounts, impervious to the taser, and he at one point attacked one of our officers, or lunged at one of our officers with a knife at very close quarters. His apartment was tiny, and the officer opened fire.
Were any Burlington police officers hurt during this exchange?
It seems like the only people who were affected by the chemicals, the irritant, were the Burlington police, but luckily they all escaped serious injury, I'm happy to say.
You've said that the Burlington Police Department had gotten calls about Grennan before. You knew he was an elderly man. You knew he was emotionally ill, as you put it last night. Given that you perceive there to be a mental health issue with this man last night, tell me how police handled this situation differently than they might have otherwise.
We actually started off going to the building at the beginning of the shift when a street outreach worker said, "Listen, Mr. Grennan's acting up again. I need to offer him services. I'm scared to go there by myself. I feel like I'm in danger. Can the police come with me?" So an officer agreed to escort the street outreach worker, who's a mental health professional. And on the way over, just by pure coincidence, a 911 call to our dispatch came over saying that there's a man threatening to kill people at the same location, and it was him. So instead of going up with the mental health worker to do just a services call, additional uniformed officers responded. And when they got his door open, he was right there at the door brandishing two large knives. And that's how this call came about. To answer your question, knowing it's a mental health call, the first thing we try to do is, number one, bring street outreach or try to have them resolve it. But they had said that by that point, you know, we don't even feel like we can engage with him safely. We also briefly interviewed two residents or a manager and a resident in the hallway, and they said, "Yeah, we're very scared of him. He's threatened to kill us. Please do something about this." So we contained him, slowed the situation down, brought ballistic and polycarbonate shields, brought negotiators, brought a camera, just trying to make contact with him at that point and start negotiations.
As you've said, all these non-lethal things you tried last night didn't work. This guy was still being threatening. He eventually apparently tried to stab one of these cops. Still, we have heard from people today saying, look, these were cops with riot shields and guns confronting an old guy with a couple of kitchen knives. Was deadly force really justified here?
One of the things that you'll see at some appropriate point in the investigation when the state police determine is that we have body camera footage of all the key points in the event. And I think that the public will be able to at least see through the lens of the camera the dangers that the officers face. They'll be able to see the types of evidence that were recovered, the close quarters at which this happened, and the fact that this wasn't rushed by any means. We used tactics and strategies that were employed in Burlington for the first time based on the Police Executive Research Forum's January conference on how to better handle emotionally disturbed people armed with knives. I mean, we learned these tactics in January and put them into effect immediately and deployed them last night. And they all aim towards a resolution that doesn't involve using this type of force. But you can't guarantee a perfect outcome in policing, especially when you're dealing with a person who's deeply ill.
So do you feel like there's anything else that you or police could have done last night to try to have this end peacefully?
Well, the only thing that we wonder about is just waiting. You know, we waited 5 hours. Could we have waited another 5 hours? It's just a thought that we all had, because none of us was happy with this outcome. This was the loss of a human life. But waiting in itself isn't the plan. Waiting is part of a plan. normally, when you have a rapport with somebody, you wait. When you can bring additional resources to the scene, you wait. When the person asks for something, like a relative or a friend or trusted person that you can supply to them, you wait. When it's an environment where they're holed up and not interfering with the workings of an entire apartment building or a city, you wait. From the moment he shut the door until the moment we eventually made contact with him, he didn't say a single word to us. He wouldn't engage. He wouldn't voice any concerns. All he did was brandish knives whenever we got a look at him. So this was an illness that had been escalating for weeks. I don't think that waiting another few hours would have changed him into the type of person who would suddenly start talking to us and easily surrender, given that we'd already brought all the resources we had to the scene. I mean, everything we had in our inventory.
Chief, you mentioned body cameras. Last year, Burlington police shot a man, but the cops on the scene weren't rolling with their body cameras. You said that they were rolling last night. Will that video and audio be available to the public at some point?
Right now, it's in the hands of the Vermont State Police, and I truly hope it will, given my druthers, I intend to release it, to be number one, transparent, and to number two, just let the public know what officers did. You know, another thing that precipitated that Colchester shooting you reference is the individual just exited his trailer at his own volition. We didn't control that door. I mean, we learned all these lessons, so our cameras were all on. We actually tied his door off last night so that he couldn't exit his apartment until we were ready to engage with them. So this is a process where we you know, when experience is hard won, we do learn from it.
Finally, at the end here, Chief, I gather that a shooting like this triggers a bunch of investigations. Tell us what happens next year.
Right now, the Vermont State Police is conducting an independent investigation. They have no formal, you know, affiliation with us, so they do report in terms of this investigation to the state's attorney, T.J. Donovan. They'll also be reporting to the Vermont Attorney General, and they'll be reviewing this and deciding whether or not to proceed with charges, whether the shooting was appropriate. And, I mean, and believe me, this is a very important type of review. Anytime lethal force is used by the police or anyone else, you know, we need to be assured completely by independent bodies that it was justified. These are citizens we're talking about, and an emotionally ill person presents a very tragic case.
Brandon Del Pozo is Burlington's chief of police. We've been talking about an incident last night in which police shot and killed an elderly man who had been behaving violently in Burlington. Chief, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Alex.